Tonight, on Old Time Radio Drama, yours truly, Johnny Dollar with the fatal fillet matter from May 11th, 1959. From the inner sanctum, it's Dead Man's Deal from August 28th, 1945. And live from the Hemsley Theater of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, it's University Theater's production of David Mamet's play, The Water Engine. I'm Norman Gilliland. David Mamet wrote The Water Engine as a short story, and in 1977, when Carl Schmitt commissioned him to write a radio drama for NPR's series Earplay, Mamet adapted his short story for radio. It was produced in large measure by staff members of Wisconsin Public Radio in Chicago and here in Madison, in this very building, in fact. And so, in a sense, it's coming home tonight. The Water Engine is coming home both to Wisconsin and to radio. Tonight, we'll be hearing it in the context of a broadcast at a radio station in 1934, and that means we won't be tuning into The Water Engine directly, but rather tuning into the program that comes before, which apparently is some kind of a vaudeville variety show. With no holds barred. Then we get to the play within a play, you might say, The Water Engine proper. And once we do, information will be pouring at us from a variety of sources, unexpected sources in many cases. A chain letter, gossip about the news of the day, the soapbox orators of Bughouse Square and other places as well. And it's up to us, as it is to inventor Charles Lang, to get to the truth behind it in David Mamet's play, The Water Engine.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the WLS radio studios right here in beautiful downtown Chicago, the city of broad shoulders. I'm Arthur Riddle, and we have a wonderful show lined up for you tonight. The Straw Hat Boys are back. You may remember their last performance at the WLS National Barn Dance, broadcast from the Century of Progress Exposition just last month. We also have a very special treat for you this evening. Straight from their most recent appearance at the Officers Club of the Chanute Army Base in Rantoul, Illinois, the Gumdrop Gals are here tonight. And let's not forget the main attraction of the evening, the radio broadcast of the David Mamet's play, The Water Engine. But before we get along with the show, I'm going to take a little moment to showcase one of the unsung heroes here at the WLS radio studios, that of our Foley artist, Mr. Buzz Sherwin. Buzz is the man you see standing in the back, looking somewhat like, well, like a mad scientist surrounded by all of his experiments. You see, Buzz is responsible for all the sound effects you'll hear in tonight's production. And on top of that, virtually all the music you hear tonight has been either composed or arranged by Buzz, and if you're really lucky, you might actually hear him sing before the night is through. So, Buzz, why don't we give the studio audience here a little sample of what you do? Rachel, could you cut the pre-show music, please? Thank you. Incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, if Buzz is the hardest working man in show business, and he is, Rachel in the booth there, the hardest working woman in show business. Nothing you see or hear tonight would be possible if not for Rachel and her crew, so why don't we take a moment and give her a little round of applause. Okay, Buzz. Let's take this studio audience for a little walk in the park on a Sunday afternoon and some of the sounds they might hear along the way. What is that, a rubber glove or the sound of wings? A little whistle or is that birds singing? And of course, what would a park be without, well, without ducks, or in this case, a plush toy? Ladies and gentlemen, I give you our Foley artist, Mr. Buzz Sherwin. Okay, now that we've warmed Buzz up for the evening, we're going to take a little time to warm up the studio audience. Well, at least two audience volunteers with the help of the gumdrop gals here to teach them a little hula. Why the hula, you may ask? Well, it's become somewhat of a tradition here at the Arthur Riddle Show. You see, many of you might know that I'm originally from Hawaii. Aloha. And one of the things I like to do is share a little bit of the aloha spirit with the audience each show that we do. Tonight, we're going to teach our audience volunteers here the hukilau. And many of you people from the Midwest could probably appreciate that because the hukilau is a fish fry Hawaiian style. Before we get along with that, why don't we meet who our very brave volunteers are? Ma'am, your name, please?
Ramona.
And you are from?
Wisconsin Public Radio.
From Wisconsin Public Radio. Ramona, why don't you give her a little hand? And you, ma'am, your name?
Amy.
Amy, and where are you from, Amy?
I'm from Wisconsin and Chicago.
Oh, a little north of the border and a little bit in our neck of the woods here. So let's get Amy. Okay, as many of you know, the hula, at least the story of the hula, is told with the hands, and that is no different here. With Frank's help and on our ukulele / mandolin, we're going to quickly run through the first verse. I'll explain the motions as we go, and then we'll do it one more time with the gumdrop gal's help. So, Frank, why don't you take it away?
All right. A one, a two. A one, two, three.
Oh, we're going.
Hitchhiking to a hukilau.
Pulling in the nets.
A hooky, 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 hukilau.
Everybody
loves the hukilau.
Where the lalau is the kaukau at the big luau, eating fish. When we throw our nets
out into the sea,
and all the umma-umma, the
fish, come a-swimming to me.
Oh, we're going
to a hukilau.
A hooky, 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 hukilau. Here we go.
Oh, we're going to a hukilau, a hooky 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 hukilau. Everybody loves a hukilau. When the lalau is
raw fish, yummy.
Oh, and we throw our nets out into the sea,
and all the umma umma come swimming to me.
Oh, we're going to a hukilau,
a hooky hooky hooky, a hooky hooky hooky, a hooky hooky hooky, a hukilau. Let's give our audience participants a big round of applause, and we will not let them go home empty-handed. They are actually going to receive posters of the water engine signed by the cast and crew. Thank you very much. Let's give them another hand. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a word from our sponsor, Slicky's Hair Cream. Men, beware. Slicky's hair cream has a magical effect upon all its users. Put a little on your fingers, comb it in, and your hair will look excitingly fresh, clean, and vibrant. But if you choose to use more than is recommended, we cannot be responsible for possible reactions. The man you see here calmly walking down the street has dared to use more than the recommended amount of Slicky's hair cream. Oh, now look what kind of mess he finds himself in. Unwanted advances, undesired attention. So, men, be wise, be moderate, and beware the power of Slicky's hair cream, available at all fine drugstores. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we bring to the microphone now, from Paducah, Kentucky, the Straw Hat Boys.
Actually, it's Paducah, Kentucky.
My apologies. Paducah, yeah. Kentucky.
That's right. Thank you, Mr. Riddle. We are the Straw Hat Boys from Paducah, Kentucky. My name's Bill.
I'm Will.
And this is our brother Phil. And we're going to do a little number here for you. Nice little toe tapper. It's called Turkey in the Straw. Ready, fellas? All right. A one, a two, a one, two, three. Fellas, I just got a crazy idea. Let's do that one more time, only this time we'll do it double time. Yep. What do you say, fellas? Come on. Yep. All right, here we go. A one, a two, a one, two, three.
Turkey in the straw, turkey in the hay, turkey in the straw, turkey in the hay. Roll them up and twist them up a high, tuck a haw, then we'll twist them up a tune called Turkey in the Straw.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, the Straw Hat Boys. And now, direct from Broadway and her starring role in Dinner at Eight, Chicago's very own Miss Estelle Collins, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm so happy to be with you all tonight.
And now our very special treat of the evening, the Gumdrop Gals.
Hello, everyone. We're so thrilled to be here tonight. My name is Luetta.
I'm Evelyn.
I'm Gracie May.
And I'm Marjorie.
And we're all single. And tonight we'll be singing Paper Moon.
Canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree, but it wouldn't be make believe if you believed in me. Without your love, it's a honky tonk parade. Without your love, it's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. If you believed in me. If you believed in me.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Gumdrop Gals. And now, one moment, we're coming out of standby. And now, Slicky's Hair Cream presents Act One of David Mamet's The Water Engine. Welcome to the Century of Progress Exposition. Yes, the second 100 years of progress. The concrete poetry of humankind. Much is known and much will yet be known. as we rush on. Chicago, 1934, the century of progress.
The techniques of chemistry should not be difficult. We are all made of chemicals. We are the world in this respect. Things can work out. Things can work out if we will persevere, if we will think correctly. Why must I distinguish between inorganic and organic? All things come from hydrogen.
They all come from the earth, as we do. We are made of molecules. We all are made of light.
We are the world in this respect.
Boy!
Yes, sir?
Run this down to the composing room.
Yes, sir!
Hold on, I want to ask you something. Word left to me to decide whether we should have a government without newspapers or newspapers without a government, I should not hesitate to prefer the latter. Do you know who said that?
Well, no, Mr. Murray.
Good.
You done?
Yeah, I'm done.
You want some breakfast?
Yeah.
Come on.
Neither the rain nor snow nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds.
Barney?
Yeah, Pop?
You just came in.
Mailman, anybody want a letter?
Do not break the chain.
It's only the mailman, Pop.
Hey, Barney, come here. What did I tell you?
What?
When we close up at night, we open up the register.
I'm sorry.
Do you know why?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Mr. Gross's office. No, he's in conference.
Many great and near great men received this letter. Stanford White received this letter 15 days before his murder. Charles H. Lindbergh received a copy just 3 days before the kidnapping. Both broke the chain.
Miss, I've been waiting to talk to Mr. Gross for hours.
Sit down, please.
Pass this letter on to 3 friends. Happiness and health will be yours. One man in Montana received upwards of $7,000. General Burchard in the Philippines received $11,000. But he lost his life because he broke the chain.
Miss,
sit down, please.
I want to talk to Mr. Gross about a patent. Yes.
1 minute.
Do not break the chain.
Mr. Gross, your appointment is here. You may go in.
Thank you.
In September 1934, a young man in Chicago, Illinois, designed and built an engine which used distilled water as its only fuel.
Sit down, sit down.
Thank you.
You are?
Charles Lang.
Glad to meet you.
He's in conference.
Well, what can I do for you?
I want to patent something.
What?
An engine.
Write in your name at the bottom of the list. Send a postal order for $1 to the name at the top of the list and cross that name off the list.
Okay, good. Tell me about it.
First, we should form an agreement.
What?
First, we should form an agreement. If I give you money, then we have a contract.
You give me $1 and that's a retainer and that constitutes a contract. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Then you can trust me. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Fine. Well, then give me $1. Thank you. Do you trust me now? And if you couldn't trust me, what good would your contract be?
Well...
What?
There's a way things are.
All right. Fine. Tell me about your invention.
Oh, we have a contract now?
Mr. Lang, you're what? You're a designer. I'm an attorney. This is what I do, all right? Life is too short. Let's see what we can do for one another here.
We have a contract.
Yes, we have a contract.
Well, I want a patent for my engine.
On what basis? What makes it special?
It uses water for its only fuel. It runs on water.
Who sent you here?
Well, I saw your name in the telephone directory.
No. Who sent you here? Did Jimmy Dwyer at Henrici send you here?
Well, I saw your name in the directory.
You did.
It turns out 8 horsepower.
Mr. Pitney and his postal processor are back.
Tell him no.
No.
Who are you?
Charles Lang.
You show me, Mr. Lang, an engine that can run on water. Show me that. An engine cannot run on water, Mr. Lang.
I freed the hydrogen. There's hydrogen in water.
Yes?
My engine runs on it.
It does?
Yes, you can see it.
I can?
In my laboratory.
And you found my name in the phone book?
Yes. If you'll come this evening, you can see it, but I'm...
What?
I'm going to go to someone else if you don't come.
I thought we had a contract.
I'll be there this evening.
I know that he's in there. I can hear him.
I'll be there this evening.
You gave me an appointment?
No, I certainly did not.
What must I do?
What have I got on this evening?
KFC.
Cancel it. I'm gonna be rich.
Wait. May I go in?
No. Will you go away? Will you please go away?
You won't see me anymore.
Down.
Excuse me, just gonna slide through here.
I could revolutionize the mail.
Down!
The delivery of mail.
Down, thank you.
And Roosevelt had let him in his cell.
Who told you that?
My cousin.
How does she know?
Well, her brother worked there.
At the prison?
Oh, no, the paper.
And he let him in his cell?
Yes.
Lindbergh?
Yes. Oh. He told her that the warden said that Lindbergh was allowed to be alone with him until the execution, and whatever he wanted to do with him was fine.
No.
Just as long as he lived.
Five.
So what did he do to him?
They handcuffed him to the bars.
No.
Yes, and then Lindbergh came in with this doctor's bag.
No.
And they put up these curtains and left him alone with Hauptmann.
No.
Until the execution.
And he chained him to the bars.
Yes, and that's why they didn't allow those photographers.
You know, I wondered about that.
Round. Where's your telephone booth? Excuse me, I'm sorry.
I could have revolutionized the mail.
And he was hardly breathing when they pulled the switch.
Hello?
How are you?
I'm all right. Is he going to come?
I think so.
This car up?
He wouldn't say.
No.
Did you tell him just the way we worked it out?
Yes, I think he'll come.
You have to watch yourself.
I know.
Up!
You must watch yourself.
I know.
We're going up.
You don't. You say that too easy. You don't know. You must be careful. You don't know these people, Charles.
I will be careful. I promise. How are you?
I am fine.
Is there anything I can get you?
No. If I need anything, Mrs. Varitz will get it.
I'll see you later.
Yes. You must be careful with these people.
I will.
Who is it?
Mrs. Varitz.
Who?
Mrs. Varitz from upstairs.
Oh, yes. Hello.
I'm going to the store. Can I get you something from the store?
No, thank you. Mrs. Varitz, have a nice day.
And you too. Dovizhenya.
Dovizhenya.
You want another cup of coffee?
No, thank you, Mr. Wallace.
Oh, do you want a donut?
No.
Why don't we try to hook it to the aileron?
All right, let's try.
You've seen that thing they have over at the fair, the Hall of Science.
What's that, Mr. Wallace?
The rocket ship?
No.
Could I please have the pliers? Thank you.
Some of the things they have in the future, I cannot believe.
They're not only in the future, Pops.
No.
They've got them now.
Well, yeah. Have you seen it further, Mr. Lang? The rocket ship?
No.
You should go.
I went last year.
Oh, I think I've got it. Mr. Lang.
It's not as good as last year.
See?
Bernie, you're absolutely right.
The one thing that I like, though, that Hall of Science.
You got a good mind for mechanics, Bernie.
A good mind for mechanics? He's another Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Lang.
If he applies himself.
Yes, sir.
I'm here to meet him.
Bernie, Mr. Wallace.
Good night, Mr. Lang. Oh, that's 15 cents? Thank you.
Good night, Mr. Lang.
Good night, Bernie. You keep working.
So you fixed your airplane.
Yes.
Good. The rocket ship. Some of those things in the future, I cannot believe.
They're not just in the future, Pops.
No.
They've got them now. They're right there at the fair. They've got them now.
They do.
Yes.
Oh, what makes you so smart? Let's close up.
Yes. Where are we going?
Not far.
You live around here?
Not far.
I looked you up.
You did?
Yes. I know where you live.
Yes.
We aren't going there.
No.
All right. Fine. Tell me, how many people know about this thing of yours?
A friend and I, me and a friend. You?
I checked up on you.
Yes.
I spoke to your company, Dietz and Federle.
How long do you think it'll take for us to receive a patent?
That depends.
On what?
On many things. Do you want to know what they said?
At my company?
Yes.
No.
This is it!
My God. Who paid for all this?
Sit down.
This is all yours?
Yep, sit down.
All of this equipment?
Please don't
touch that. This is my engine, and this is water.
Uh-huh.
It's distilled. It won't be necessary in the end, but until I solve the carburation, it's much cleaner.
Yeah. Now, can I taste that, please? Thank you.
Huh?
told you what I do there?
At the factory?
Yes.
Yes?
Why'd you come, then?
We have a contract. What's that?
Oh, just a battery. I use electric charge for the ignition.
All right.
I'm going to start it now.
You got a cigarette?
No. What you're about to see is like a sailboat. My sister says there are no more factories. This engine, Mr. Gross, draws from the earth. It draws its power from the earth. Now!
What's the trouble?
It's nothing. This is all right. Hold on one second. My... Wait! All right. Now! I can fix this!
Jimmy Wyatt from Henrici sent you. No, I'll tell Jimmy.
This is wonderful. I'm gonna be rich. Who are you, by the way?
Now? There are no more factories.
I'm gonna be rich.
There are no more factories.
And delayed by the storm, she missed the evening mail by seconds. The woman then ran on after the mail truck, letter in hand, and the postman saw her in the rearview mirror. Driving home, she found that her house had been struck down by lightning. Had she been there just 1 minute previously, she would have perished in the fire. Remember to enclose a postal order in the sum of $1. Make the order out to the person whose name appears at the top of the list.
You know what I want?
No.
A place with a balcony. We can sit out.
Yes.
And feel the breeze and the fans. Electric fans.
We're going to move from here.
Where?
The country.
Good. We could have a farm.
Have you ever been on a farm?
Yes. And dogs. We could raise dogs. When are you meeting him?
Tomorrow night.
Why at night?
Well, he said we must all be careful.
Oh, yes, we must. Do you trust him?
No.
They all are thieves, you know.
Who?
All of them are thieves. You moved the engine, didn't you?
After he left.
Good. And a windmill. We can sit out in the evening. We'll hear it go round. We'll hear it go round.
Yes.
Are you tired?
Well, yes. I am.
Don't trust him.
No. I don't.
This concludes another evening of The Music That You Love to Dance To, coming to you from Chicago's famed Aragon Ballroom on the Great North Side. Until next Wednesday at this time, then, this is Arthur Riddle wishing you good night, good luck, and very pleasant dreams.
The terror of the cities of the night is stilled by commerce. Demons and the fears of sleep have been eradicated by the watchmen of the modern order. Now, we are characters within a dream of industry, within a dream of toil.
Hey, Lang, unit boss come down here.
He did?
Ask the foreman where you were.
Well, what'd he want?
He wanted you. You know why?
No.
I know why.
You do?
Yeah. You watch yourself. Lodge!
A man worked all his life and put his life savings into dollars.
He put them in a bag.
Someone took it from him. Then where would he be?
Hath he not worked?
Must he seek charity?
The man who took it.
When he spent it, who would know it was not his? And
and every time I feel a thrill of pride.
You got a smoke pal for a vet?
I'm sorry, what?
When patriotic songs are played.
You got a cigarette?
No.
And when Old Glory takes the breeze.
Do you know what time is? Do you know what time?
I find myself ashamed. Yes, ashamed. When will we learn to choose between the quality of our impressions? Patriotism is a real feeling. Yes, we feel it there beneath our breastbones. In our hearts, our spirits rise. It serves the cause of death.
Yes. Why, she's good. Why, here's the thing she's saying. I know what she's saying.
What is there so attractive in these tearful, punk-filled ceremonies? What is so seductive in them?
They
support the torture of the ages.
Are you late?
What?
Are you late?
No.
I was worried.
Come on.
Where?
Around the corner. Come on.
The Great War? The pogrom?
Go back to Russia!
The Crusades! The Inquisition! May God bless us all! My country, right or wrong!
I can stand for you!
As if I was not! We support these things, friends. You and I! The power of the torturers comes from the love of a patriotic song.
Welcome back to Russia.
Russia is a fiction, friend. She is a bugaboo inventor to distract you from your troubles. There is no Russia. Russia is the bear beneath your bed.
How are you?
I'm fine. Good. Where are we going?
Not far. You ever come here?
Bughouse Square?
Yes.
No.
I do. Love to hear the speeches. Get a different slant on things.
Where are we going?
Not far. I want you to meet someone.
Who?
A friend.
Who is he?
Someone who's going to help us here.
Mr. Lang? Mr. Lang! I'm very glad to meet you.
This is Lawrence Olbermann.
Who are you?
Charles, I'm going to stop back at my office.
Who are you? Who is this man?
A lawyer. A good friend of mine.
A patent lawyer?
Yes. I've got to stop back downtown.
You're leaving?
I have things to wrap up, Charles. Don't worry, you're in the best of hands.
You're leaving?
I swear to you, you're in the best of hands. Well, you take good care of it.
I will.
I'll call you.
Call me in the morning.
Wait, no, you must stay with me.
Charles, I want you to stay here and talk with him.
You stay with me.
It's not necessary. Really, it's not. Now, can you come in tomorrow? Tomorrow morning around 10 o'clock?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
And you come in then. And you take good care of him.
I will.
I know you will. I'll see you in the morning.
Knives to grind. I got your knives to grind. Knives to grind. I got your knives to grind.
Well, how are you?
Fine.
Good. Do you get up in the park much?
No. Not in years. Who are you?
I'm a colleague of Martin's.
You work with Grove?
Yes, I have.
You are a lawyer?
Yes.
For who? Who do you work for?
Well, Mr. Lang, I hope that I will work for you.
I have a lawyer.
Mr. Lang, I represent some interests which are very much concerned with this machine of yours. Martin Gross and I have had, I may say, quite successful dealings in the past. Now, he thought when he perceived the value of your engine... The potential value of your engine, that it would be best for you quite quickly to avail yourself of aid, specifically of services which I am equipped to offer.
What does that mean?
But, well, listen to me. We wish to take your engine and develop and produce and market it in an as economic and efficient a manner as possible, and in so doing make great profits for ourselves and you. That is what we want. Now, we are prepared, on close examination of your model, we are prepared to make a, and I do put it conservatively, a substantial offer for your engine.
You want to license it?
No, Mr. Lang, we want to patent it. We want to buy it.
Oh.
I should get up here more often.
Oh, you want to buy it from me?
And we want to protect you.
Protect me from what?
You need it, you know.
Protect me from what?
Oh. Come with us. See your engine made and utilized. Keep control of what you made.
I have control. It's mine.
The law is not precise on some points. Litigation is expensive.
Whose is it if it isn't mine? It's mine!
A substantial case could be made for the ownership of the machine by those who've paid for its development.
And who's that?
Dietz and Fetterly? The company for which you work? Shall we take one more turn around the block? They could say that you had worked on the machine for many months while in their pay and on their premises. Now, you were forced by circumstances, as we know, to do this, and this is unfortunate. Perhaps more so was your decision to continue work on the machine at your own workshop. The laboratory you have built yourself on Halstead Street is fitted out entirely with tools and materials stolen from Dietz and Fetterly. Then to whom does the engine belong?
Well, I run a punch press there. They pay me 90 cents an hour. I never stole a thing from them.
No, Mr. Lang, that just is not the truth. Let's not be specious. Do you think there was ever a thief, Mr. Lang, who stole without reason? Everyone has motives, thieves included. They will say you are a thief and they will be upheld.
I made the engine.
Yes. God bless you, yes. It is a work of genius. Whether you are able to establish ownership is quite another matter. Oh, Mariah, here we are. Quite simply, Mr. Lang, my people want the engine. Dietz and Fetterly would deal with us. We'd rather deal with you. But we will deal with whom we must. Will you entertain an offer for the right to patent the machine?
Then you would own the engine.
Yes.
No, I cannot accept that.
You know, you put us in an unprotected stance here, you do. By dealing with you, a case could be made for our collusion in the theft.
What theft?
Of the machine! I think that in light of this, our offer is, well, I won't tell you that it's generous, it may or may not be. But it is eminently reasonable, can you see that?
I don't like you.
Oh, let us not be romantic, Mr. Lang. Sell us the machine. I swear to you, this offer is in your best interest.
Nice.
Do you think I like conducting business in the park? In darkness? You're in danger, Mr. Lang, you are. And those who deal with you are in danger. I know you don't believe this, but it's so, I swear to you. Sell us the engine. You sleep on what we've talked about. You call me at Gross's office tomorrow. Please.
Where are the benefits to you and me? That's what I say. Where are the benefits? A couple of kids go off to CCC or build a bridge somewhere.
But what about the wheat?
I ask you, where's the wealth? Where is the wealth?
Now this is what I say. The ownership of land. These things do not change.
They don't change with giveaways and murals. They are banknotes at the movies.
That's all. That's all we have to say.
Step aside, please. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else would like to speak? On any subject? Anybody? How about you, fella?
No. No!
I said,
many cows and horses. All large animals need constant care. You have to be with them if they are to be productive. Sitting with them and just caring for their needs. With sunshine and with proper food. You have to get up early in the morning when the sun is not out. All the world smells like a bakery. Here, my friends. Chick, 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 chick. Here I am to help you. Things can go wrong. You don't have to be down when things go wrong because each day's new. Every day's new, isn't it, Charlie?
Yes.
When you can live out where it's clean, when you are famous, would you like something to eat?
Oh, I have to go back to the lab.
Well, eat now, because I have to tell you what I'm thinking.
No, I have to move those things.
Move them in the morning, because I have to tell you things I've been thinking about life here. You move that stuff tomorrow.
They said it wasn't mine.
What wasn't yours?
The engine.
I miss the horses. You remember? All the horses in the street.
Yes.
The reason I don't like automobiles is fumes.
They said it wasn't mine.
Of course it's yours. Whose is it if it isn't yours? And privacy. You can't keep things out. This is what I thought. That when you live in here, you can't control what comes in. Sounds come in and fumes from things that you had no part in. Someone went down today. Down on the fire escape. I think he stopped there by the window. You can't control these things. That's why everyone should live out in the country. Don't you think so?
Yes.
Where if you have the money, you can use it to get back the things that you need. Do you see?
Yes.
Good. Now what would you like to eat?
I have to go back to the lab.
No. You can go tomorrow. I think you're tired. You rest now. You stay with me now. The important thing is see it made. We'll see the engine made.
We'll see the engine made.
Yes, that's the only thing. And we'll have no machines.
No.
On our farm.
No.
Some machines. Very few machines.
A Russian prince, deposed and penniless in Paris, sent the letter on. And 2 weeks later, saw an advertisement in the local paper placed there by his long-lost brother, whom he thought was dead. The brother sought information about the prince's whereabouts, and he received his just inheritance at last. An older woman who had been a nurse found $50,000 in a trunk which she had purchased at a railroad auction. A missionary, deep in China, received a telegram which said his fiancée had died. The last act of his life prior to entering a monastery was to send the letter on. 15 years later.
For Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, 125th Street and Grand Central Station on track 5. This is the 20th Century Limited on track 5. Zubaba, zubaba, yeah.
One moment, sir. He's with a client, sir.
Get up.
I'm sorry, Mr. Crossy.
Close the door, please. What's the matter?
Get up.
Charles, what's the matter?
You stand up, you punk.
Mr. Lang.
You too. You people make me sick.
Will you sit down, please? Why don't you just sit down? No, Lois, it's nothing.
Are you in control now? Are you all right now?
Charles, what is it?
Can you tell us what's happening, Mr. Lang?
You're funny.
What is it, Charles?
You didn't know what's in there. You don't know. You cannot have it. Kill it. You don't have one idea what you did. There's nothing sacred to you.
All right now, what is it? What?
You destroyed it.
What?
You wrecked my lab.
Someone wrecked your lab?
I think I should kill you.
When?
When was your lab wrecked? You see? You see, I told you.
I don't know, last night.
You see?
You told him what?
You're in great danger, Mr. Lang.
You ruined my work.
You? Who is this you? You think that Gross and I destroyed your lab?
Yes, you and him.
We wrecked it. You see? Did I tell you?
Yes.
Why would we do that?
Plans.
To get your plans?
Yes.
They stole your plans.
Oh, Christ.
Did they steal your plans?
No.
Oh, no. The plans are safe.
Are the plans safe? You people are savages. You're animals.
Charles, we did not destroy your lab.
Oh, I came in here to do business with you. We decided to do business.
As God is my witness, before God, we did not go... Why would we do a thing like this? Think. Why?
Are you in?
One moment. Are the plans safe.
Why do you play with me? You know if they're safe or not. If they'd stolen them, you wouldn't let me in. You wouldn't let me in. I'd be arrested somewhere, wouldn't I? For some $2 wrench I took from Deets.
They're safe.
Yeah. They're safe from you. Well, I hid them. You think I'm a fool? I'm no fool.
They were hidden.
Yeah, you bet they were.
In the laboratory.
No.
Where?
Somewhere else. Oh, should I tell you where?
The engine too?
The engine too, yes. So they got nothing. Oh, why do you do this? I came here to cooperate. I came to do business.
Who knew?
You.
Who else?
Just you. You two and my sister.
Would she tell someone? Who might she tell?
Don't you mention her.
Might just have been a coincidence. You know, sometimes these things happen.
You don't mention her!
All right, Mr. Lang. You're very lucky here. You have no idea. Business communities. Who knows? That girl out there at the desk. Some cab driver, perhaps. There are many ways. But I think that we are very lucky here.
We are lucky.
Yes. Where is the engine?
Hidden.
Where?
Somewhere safe.
It must remain safe. I'm going to have men assigned around your laboratory and with you personally.
You ruined my lab.
Where are you going?
Lang, just stay out of my way. You can't go out there. You leave me alone.
No, you cannot go out
there. Don't threaten me. Don't threaten me. You're scum. You're nothing. I'm leaving now. I'm going. Maybe I'll come back. If I come back, you're going to meet our terms. Our terms. And Oberman? Maybe I'll go up to your company. Maybe I'll just say how badly you botched things up. I make a deal, I go over your head. Part of the deal, you're gone. Both of you. You come in and destroy my experiments, my work. I say we want all the money. And Rita and I throw you to the walls. Now get out of my way.
Charles. Wait, no way.
You move aside.
If you walk out that door now, we are going to have to go to Dietz and Federley and sue you for possession of the plans. You're going to lose.
You do your worst.
I'm trying to help you.
Get out of my way.
We'll keep our offer open until 10. We'll be here until 10 this evening if you find that you need our help.
I don't expect that.
If you find that you need our help.
Hold up.
Excuse me.
Who said that if everyone just acted in his own best interests, this would be paradise on Earth?
Yes, sir.
Contact our people downstairs.
Yes, sir.
Down. We're going down.
Make sure you send the letter on to someone who you trust. We'll send the letter on. All people are connected. Do not send cash.
And this concludes Act One of David Mamet's The Water Engine. We'll be back after a short commercial break. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back on standby. Please take a 15-minute intermission, and we will be right back after our short little break.
Well, you've heard Act One of The Water Engine, a play by David Mamet, produced by the University Theater at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in their Hemsley Theater, which is just downstairs from Pledge Central. And we'll get back to the play as soon as the intermission is over. I'm Norman Gilliland with Gene Purcell. You're listening to Old Time Radio Drama here on Wisconsin Public Radio, and we hope that you're going to be part of the show tonight, too.
We do indeed, and one way you can be part of the show is to pick up a phone right now and make a pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio. Old Time Radio Drama, one of the highlights of, I think, many people's weekends here at WPR. And if you are a listener and a supporter of Wisconsin Public Radio, now is the time to make that call of support. Here's the phone number. It is 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772, or you can pledge online at WPR.org.
Just a few things about the water engine, and especially in case you just joined us, there's all kinds of radio stuff going on in this play. It was written for radio. In fact, it was commissioned by Wisconsin Public Radio's own Carl Schmidt for Earplay. And so it was written for radio, and then later Mammoth adapted it for the stage, but it still has a very strong radio component, and the set tonight is a 30s radio studio. I mean, this is radio night extraordinaire for old-time radio drama this Saturday night, and I hope that you'll have some fun with it. If you haven't called in the past year, you can make a sound there. You'll be the sound effects person providing a phone ringing, and you'll hear it back there and behind us in Pledge Central, and it'll be supporting old-time radio drama and drama of all kinds on the radio here from time to time on Wisconsin Public Radio. And how do you make that call? Well, actually, you can make the call at 1-800-383-9772, and it sounds just like a phone ringing. It's radio magic. Or you can go to the website, which is quieter but just as effective, at wpr.org.
And I have to say that being part of the production tonight is very interesting for me, because it's part of my homework for tonight. I read the play on the paper, and I have to say it's different. I mean, there is that, you know, you laugh, but all the words are there on the page. All the words are there, and where it says sound effect, there is a sound effect, but it is that radio magic that we're hearing tonight that really does come to life on the stage and through the radio. And that is what we are all about here at Wisconsin Public Radio, is that radio magic. And you help provide the radio magic with your phone calls of support, your pledges, at 800-383-9772, online at wpr.org.
One way to look at this play, The Water Engine, is to look at it as a slice of an evening at a radio station, vintage 1934, because you're not just hearing the drama, The Water Engine per se, that Mammoth wrote. You're also hearing, I'll call it, vaudeville acts before and during The Water Engine that aren't in the script, that Mammoth didn't write in there, but come out of the imagination of our director, Tony Simotas, who is producing The Water Engine for University Theater. So you can consider yourself part of that radio audience. At the same time, there's, of course, a theater audience, which is really in the radio studio, that's participating with their applause. You participate with yours, that's right, by calling 1-800-383-9772 or going to the web at wpr.org. You pick the amount for a $120 pledge, though you get that member card, which you've probably heard us talking about from time to time over the months, but it's always changing. There's always something new, and 2-for-1 entrees at many restaurants, and now 2-for-1 at, what, B&Bs, yep, and all kinds of things added to that card. You get it for a $120 pledge, you get all your money back without working very hard at using those 2-for-1s.
$10 a month, it's an easy pledge to make, and as easy as making a phone call at 800-383-9772. Don't forget that it doesn't take very long to make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. That phone number will put you in touch with one of our volunteers. Or if you pledge online, it's also quick and easy. The information we'll need is your name, your address, the amount that you'd like to pledge, and that's something you should think about. So if you are interested in the member card, remember that's available at the $120 level. And then you're back to supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. But the important thing is that you start out the process. You have to do that. That's the part that we can't do for you. We can encourage you. We can talk about how great Wisconsin Public Radio is, how much it means to you in your life. But what we can't do is pick up the phone or go online for you. That's what you have to do. So do it right now at 800-383-9772 or pledge online at wpr.org.
Well, let's do a little Name That Sound, a popular thing for old-time radio. And this actually is a sound that we've used before, but not for many years. And it was the sound that drew the most calls. And I can tell you that because I was actually working solo that night, and I took all 152
of them. Really, 152?
And I'm not sure that most of them, but we got more than a couple of them right out of all that. But it's a common everyday sound.
But most of them were wrong.
Yes, the vast majority did not get it right. So here it is. We'll give you the sound. You don't need to call in. We'll tell you what this sound is in about 5 or 6 minutes before we go back to The Water Engine. But just there at home, mentally, see if you can name that sound.
Okay, is that a water engine?
It is not a water engine. Right. It sounds a little bit like one.
There's a clue for the folks at home. So think about that sound.
But water, that's an interesting word to use there. I wonder if that was intentional or was that subconscious that Gene used that word water in conjunction with tonight's Name That Sound.
Well, practically everything is subconscious with me. So let's go with that. One thing.
You can make a conscious decision. I knew you were going to say that, Gene. You can make a conscious decision to go to the phone and support old-time radio drama on a Saturday night with your call at 1-800-383-9772. And thanks for that call. It's great to hear those come in Pledge Central. In just a few minutes, Gene and I will be going back downstairs to the Hemsley Theater for the rest of the water engine. You can also web your pledge in at WPR.org.
And in addition to all of the people at home having questions about what that mysterious sound might be, and again, we're going to tell you what the sound is in just a few minutes, but another question a lot of people have during pledge time is how much should I pledge to support Wisconsin Public Radio? And the answer is really whatever is comfortable for your budget. Any amount that you decide to donate, any amount that you decide to pledge automatically makes you a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. So the real question is, what's comfortable for you? And so what I always encourage people to do is think about their listening habits for a moment. Are you listening to old-time radio now? Do you listen every week? Do you listen to the talk programming throughout the week? Or perhaps listen to some of our classical music programming or other news programming? If you want to sit down and just mentally figure out how much time you spend with Wisconsin Public Radio every week, add it up, and then think about your budget. Do you have any wiggle room in your budget? How much can you spare for Wisconsin Public Radio? What is comfortable for you? You'll arrive at a figure very quickly, and then just as quickly, I hope you'll pick up the phone and make that pledge at 800-383-9772. It's really all up to you. We count on your support. We rely on it. And we look forward to your call tonight at 800-383-9772.
And whatever that amount, it is important. One thing about radio is that it goes out, but we don't know who's out there listening and what you're getting out of it, whether you're enjoying it, whether you'll be tuning in next week, whether you'll be tuning in for every Saturday night of the year to come. Our best way, our most surefire way of knowing that you're out there enjoying this kind of programming is your call when you pledge at any amount at 1-800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org. It is the most direct way we have of knowing that you're out there supporting old-time radio. And I should also say that it's the most direct way we have of supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a real grassroots support when you call 1-800-383-9772. And more than 90% of your pledge goes right into the programming. It's very efficient, very effective. And you compare that with any number of other outfits that you might contribute to, and the numbers go all the way down. I talked to somebody the other day. I said, how much of this would go to the actual cause? 14%.
Oh, dear. That's not very good.
Yeah, and a lot of them are like 30, 40, 50%, but it's very efficient when you call in and support Wisconsin Public Radio at 1-800-383-9772.
And I like that part about hearing from the listeners, because we don't always know who's listening. When I was very early in my radio career, I was working at a radio station doing midnight to six in a country music format, and I can tell you exactly how many people were listening, because between the hours of about 3 and 5, the phones got awfully, awfully quiet. And one of the great things about working at Wisconsin Public Radio, particularly during our pledge drives, is that we do hear from a lot of listeners. And it's great to hear those phone calls. It's great to hear those comments about our programming. And it's great to feel that support. 800-383-9772 is the toll-free number, or you can pledge online at WPR.org. Also like just to take a moment to thank everybody who has made their pledge either through electronic funds transfer, or perhaps you've already mailed back your pledge form. Thanks to all of you who have done that. This hour, we are appealing particularly to those people who either haven't made a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio ever, and I know it's hard to believe, but there are some people out there who haven't done that yet, and also appealing to maybe you've made your membership lapse for a couple of years. Now is a great time to get back on the wagon and help Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall pledge drive. 800-383-9772.
And remember that member benefit card. I'll say two things. One is that, yes, support old-time radio drama at any level. I mean, and it's great sometimes to see, you know, those $5, $10 pledges. We've gotten them from very young people mm-hmm. out there in the periphery of our listening area. But if you do have $120 or more that you can use to support old-time radio drama, you'll get it all back just with the member card that comes your way, which gives you 2-for-1 dining at many places, a couple hundred places around the state, and now 2-for-1 at B&B's around the state. There are some other things on there too. I mean, you definitely will get all of your money back with just a little effort if you go the $120 route and get your member card. And that's still only $10 a month for all that old-time radio, Saturday night and Sunday night. It's 6 hours a week of it. So what a deal, and of course, it's a vote for old-time radio drama, too.
We'll be going back to the water engine in just a few minutes, and you should also stick around because we'll be also going back and naming our secret sound for the evening, the mysterious noise you heard a few minutes ago. What could it possibly be? Well, we're going to tell you in just a few minutes, so don't go away. If you do go away, just go as far as the telephone. Make that toll-free call at 800-383-9772. And then hurry back, because we are going to reveal. All secrets will be revealed before the end of the break. Also, pledge online. That way you can listen at the same time. Pledge online at WPR.org. Support all of the terrific programming you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. And help support some of my favorite programming, which is old-time radio drama. I listen, I would say, almost every weekend. And whether it's the dramas like yours truly, Johnny Dollar,
Coming up later tonight,
some of the old favorites, you know, The Lone Ranger and Boston Blackie. And I love the detective ones particularly. I have a real, and then, of course, you know, X-1 and some of the science fiction things, because it's always very interesting and sort of ties in with the water engine, because there was always this vision of what the world was going to be in 50 or 100 years. And here we are living.
Here we are there.
And sometimes they're real close, and sometimes they miss the mark by a bit. In any case, it's great programming, and you can help support it with your pledge of support at 800-383-9772.
Time now to reveal tonight's Name That Sound, mystery sound. And Gene used the word water as in water engine, and it does seem appropriate, doesn't it? This is the sound again. Did you get it that time? Did you get it the first time? That is nothing but an umbrella opening and closing. It's one of those two-parters, you know, like that. Very distinctive sound, but sounds on radio often do not sound like what they are.
No, they don't. And I would like to say that I was being very clever in throwing that water, but I wasn't. There was nothing clever about it. It is what it is.
We'll take what we can get, though. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the shrewd thing for you to do is call in 1-800-383-9772 to make sure that old-time radio drama is here for you. We thank you for your calls and your web pledges. And now we'll go back to the water engine. This is Act 2 on Wisconsin Public Radio.